Father in heaven, as we open your word, I have just a couple of requests. First, it's living and active and powerful, empowered by the Holy Spirit to lives and hearts. So give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Second, hide your servant behind the cross. Would none of this be me, but would you just simply use my humble willingness to be used? And Lord, speak to us today. And so we just ask your blessing on this time and all God's people said. Amen. So we're talking about becoming 3D disciples, and we're in the second week of Discover. We say fully functioning followers of Jesus, three-dimensional disciples. There's discovery, demonstration, and duplication, and we're unpacking that all for you. And last week we titled the message, Come and See, and we talked about this really clear truth that you can't even be a disciple until you encounter Jesus and respond to his invitation. So there's this invitation to come and see Jesus, to be in the Word, to be under the Word, to encounter God and his history and what he did in choosing for himself, creating a people, choosing for himself a people when sin came into the world, being faithful to send a Redeemer. I mean, all of it's there, and there's this invitation to just come and see. Just check it out. And Jesus says to the disciples, come and see. And when they came and met Jesus, then there was an invitation into relationship with Jesus. And everyone that's a disciple of Jesus today has had an invitation into new life. And the Bible says that we're born dead in our sin because we have human DNA, that God is holy, we are not, we're separated, and that there's this invitation to allow what Jesus did on a cross to be applied to your account, and something really cool happens inside of you when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is who he said he was. God regenerates or makes new life in you. The dead becomes made alive. That's cool. And so we talked about this invitation to new life. And the first part of Discover is come and see, taste and see that the Lord is good and enter into new life. Now, wouldn't it be a bummer if it stopped there? If all we wanted you to do is just pray this prayer, just do this, then you're in. Then don't worry about it. Relax. Go out and live your life. No, you're invited into new relationship and new life. And we're supposed to move from brand new life to maturity. And immaturity, quite frankly, is a real concern. Now, when Miles came into this world, he's helpless, just like every other baby. And Ben and Amber know that they have to basically do everything for Miles. And then they start dreaming about the day when Miles is going to hold his own bottle. Believe me, you do. You dream about the day. And then you start dreaming about the day when they don't need you to go and roll them over or entertain them the whole time. They can start to pick things up and play with them and discover their world. And then you start dreaming about the day that they'll finally walk because you're so sick of lugging them everywhere. And then you say, well, if they could just tell me what it is they want, I'm so sick of trying to figure it out, when they can talk. And then there's the stage every parent dreams about for a long time, potty training, when they can look after that business for themselves. And you expect a growth to maturity. And you expect things to change and to grow. If you were planting your garden and you take some new little plant, and you know, we go and we buy ones that are already started because starting them from seeds is really hard for us. But they're fragile, and you need to tend them, and you need to prepare the soil and put them in the right place and let them get a root system, and you want them to grow and produce something. Otherwise, you might as well till the garden under. You're wasting your time. Do you know Scripture uses this imagery over and over and over? And the message today is entitled, I Want to Be a Tree. And we want you to see this discipleship process is when you get the new life, we need to help you figure out how then to get roots in the right place and to begin to grow in a healthy manner and be pruned in a healthy manner that you might be a fully functioning follower of Jesus and enjoy deep relationship with him. And so we're going to go to three different passages today. We're going to start in Psalm chapter 1, if you have your Bibles. Now, the psalmist David is this man after God's own heart. He's not perfect, right? So as you hear his heart in this psalm. Don't for a minute go, well, you know, he's reached the state of whatever and I could never get there. This is the same guy that messed up with his family over and over and that messed up royally with his problem, looking where he shouldn't have looked and taking what he shouldn't have taken. And he's lost kids and he's known great highs and lows. But hear what he has to say in Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. I want you to see that there needs to be careful planting. Now, if someone gave you a little sapling tree, about this big, I got one when I was in school, and Corrine got one when she was in school and came home, and it grew into a fairly big tree, and your dad gave it away, right? If I remember the story right. But you have to choose carefully where you're going to plant that. Like, you're going to expect it to grow, and that root system needs to go down, and there needs to be something there to nourish it. And Psalm 1 talks about careful planting. It says, choose the site carefully. Blessed is the one who... Now, it starts with a negative, who does not, right? So it says, first, you can spot some bad sources for your roots to go down into. You can spot some places where if you plant this tree there, or you plant this new life there, and the root system goes down where it's going to be fed by these things, it's going to die. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. You know, I got lots of friends who don't know Jesus yet and don't love him yet. And we spend time together and we hang out together. And some of these verses bother me until I remember what Jesus prayed for his disciples. I pray that you would keep them in the world, but they wouldn't be of the world. So this idea of walking in step with means that the patterns of living behavior and the motivations become yours. See, that's one place where if your roots go in, it's going to poison your tree. Or stand in the way of sinners. It says, stand in the way that sinners take. And it seems that that would refer to embracing or standing up for the things that are against the laws of God. Choosing to align yourself with those things and have them become your causes and your... And then it says, or sit in the company of mockers. It says, one of the places you do not want one of your roots feeding this new life is to surround yourself with people that are mockers. Now, in our society, we kind of, let's just talk about my home. We have a great deal of fun in my home, and we're somewhat sarcastic in our humor, and we probably run right up to the line sometimes, but we're very funny. But I also know people who surround themselves with those who mock or tear down, not build up. And when you get into Ephesians, you're going to find out that we need to be building up, not tearing down. And if your root taps into those things with rip apart, destroy, make fun of, tear apart. I've said to somebody recently, they were asking about our church and they were comparing it to some other places. And I said, well, let's not compare. Let me just sum it up like this. I would love it if we always were known for what we stand for. We're for Jesus. We're for grace. We're for forgiveness. We're for you being facilitated in your walk towards God. And we just didn't define ourselves by all the things we stand against. Now, we are against things that are contrary to Scripture, but we want to be for something. And we want to be known by that. It says, don't put your roots into diseased waters, into a poor location. But blessed is the one who does delight in the law of the Lord, meditates on his law. And that says day and night. I just put constantly. And the Bible's pretty clear that the Word of God is living and active. It's God's revelation of himself to us. It has power. The Holy Spirit enables it. And when you are in the Word of God, and you take delight in understanding who God is, finding out who he reveals himself to be, you're setting the roots of this new life into living water that will continually supply what you need for growth. And the Bible says it's like a tree supplied by water that will yield its fruit in season. The leaves do not wither. It prospers. It grows. I want you to see that the stakes are huge here. It says when you don't do this, when you don't put those roots there, you're like chaff that blows away, that will not stand in the judgment. It says the Lord watches over, and one of the versions says, tends the way of the righteous. The way of the wicked leads to destruction. I've got a lot to cover today, so I'm kind of rushing, but I don't want you to miss this. This is hugely important. All of you that have new life are sending down roots. Some of them will be very shallow. Some of them will go deep. Some of them will go into places that cause your plant to be poisoned or your tree not to grow. And the Bible uses this imagery about things that die or that wither or that produce no fruit. And it's scary what it has to say about it. All of you also have the opportunity to tend the garden of your soul and to ensure that your roots are going to the right places. So if you've been a Christian for a long time, or you're maybe new at this whole who is Jesus and how does this relationship work, let me just encourage you to stop for a minute and go, what are the roots that my tree is tapping into? Can I honestly say that I delight in his word and that, And if you don't know, it's time to find out and test some of the sources feeding your soul and perhaps readjust where those things go. It says this, that it's very important to root your life in God's word. Psalm 119, verses 9 to 16. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Very quickly, don't miss something here. It starts with the heart. It says, how can a young person stay? It's by pursuing God. It says, I seek you with all my heart. Don't let me stray. It's sending roots into the heart, into the Word of God, having it feed your soul, and it's storing those truths in your heart. And if you look at the posture, you see praise rising out of this passage. It says, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. And praising God and desiring to be taught, it seems comes from a heart not where it's an obligation or something to be accomplished, but coming from discovering truth, embracing it, and living by it. The rejoicing as in great riches, there's a delight here that helps make wise choices and guides right living. And it talks about meditating and considering, diving deep, adjusting life to live according to truth. Your roots need to be planted firmly in the Word of God. Now, back up with me. Discovery, right? I want you to discover something. God's Word has this power behind it from the Holy Spirit and this truth in it, where it continually brings us to our eyes being open to things we're doing wrong. And it's not always the funnest experience, right? And everyone that's walked the Christian life knows that they read along and they go, oh, I'm doing that wrong. Oh, I messed that up. Oh, this is what God desires. This is what I'm doing. And repentance becomes part of the deal, right? And it's when we can practice repentance and embrace truth and trust that God loves us and knows best and embrace the things that we find. It's when we can do that from a real humble posture and a real, just an open posture, that something amazing happens. We just begin to look forward to that time in God's Word. And we're going through life and we have a decision to make, and that verse springs to mind. And it just changes everything about our motivation and what we're doing and why we're... And we can all of a sudden say with the psalmist, I rejoice in the time I get to spend with you. I'm discovering these things about your character, not because I'm adding to my list of things I need to be obedient to, but because in relationship, you're changing my heart to desire the things you desire. And I don't want you to leave here going, eh, Pastor, way to go. You made me feel guilty again this morning. No. I'm telling you, taste and see. Discover that God is good. Begin to shift your roots into the Word of God that's living and active and feeds you and changes you from the inside out. Second, you need careful pruning in wanting to become a tree or a fully functioning disciple. What I've learned from tending plants is that sometimes you need to pinch them back or do this or do that or cut them back for them to be healthy and flourish and produce more fruit. Anybody realize that? Some of you are gardeners, you know that. And some of you have grown great tomato plants with lots of tomatoes, and you know to pinch off those little runners that grow in the little Y, and you know all the tricks to get your tomato plants to produce. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 24. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught about him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful natures, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. First thing I want you to see in this passage is that we're to work on and with each other. And Christ gave gifts to the body, and he gave everybody roles, and we shouldn't desire each other's roles, but he said no one can do it alone, and you're supposed to build each other up. You're supposed to work on and with each other. Now, you might look around the room and go, ugh, I hope he didn't mean them. But he did. And we're all part of the body, and you all have unique gifts, and you all need each other. And so it says God wants us to be built up. He wants us to prune one another, to feed one another, to cross-pollinate, in a sense, spiritually with one another, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then it goes on to say, immaturity puts us at risk. Now, if we use our little sapling, when you get a tree and you pay a lot for it and you plant it in your yard and you hope one day it'll be big, the first while you tend it a lot, right? You check it for bugs. You put a little plastic sleeve on it so they can't eat away at this and that. You shoo the moose away that come into the neighborhood and try and mow it down. You water it when it's dry because you know the root system isn't established, and it takes a whole lot of work. So many people have had a bad theology and have come to praying a prayer instead of entering into a relationship. Others have not been taught that their roots have to go deep, and so they've kept their roots shallow. And they're just this far under the surface, and they catch a little preaching here and there and a book here and there and a little of this and a little of that, but they're really not in deep to the Word of God. And here's what it says about immaturity. It says you'll be tossed back and forth by the waves. Man, I'm here to tell you, we live in a fallen world racked with sin. If you don't think waves are going to come, surprise, there's going to be waves. There's sickness and there's trouble, and God allows things in our life. And when you aren't working on maturity and not growing, those things don't just rock your boat, they swamp your life. Here's another risk to immaturity: blown about by every wind of teaching. I don't have time, but if you ever want to, you know, have some fun, you can get one passage and then find commentaries to the right and to the left and to the center and what everyone has to say. And when you go online and you see somebody's ministry growing and they have thousands of followers and they wrote a book, they must be right. No? And yet when you check it against the Bible, you go, this isn't true. And if you aren't grounded in the Word of God and led by the Spirit of God, if you're not hiding God's Word in your heart, if you don't know who God reveals Himself to be in Scripture, you will believe what people tell you. And not only will life swamp you, uproot you, but you'll be blown about by every wind of teaching. And then it says you're easily deceived by people. I like this. By the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Immaturity has amazing risks. And so it pictures healthy growth there. If you want to go back and take some time with this, have a look at it. It says when we become mature, some things happen. The truth begins to be spoken in love. That we can talk about God's Word, we can talk about truth, we can talk about hard topics and tough choices in love. And it's received in love. It talks about growth that reflects Jesus. It says, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. We begin to reflect God. And it says that as we grow, something amazing happens. That we grow up into Him and He joins and holds us together, the ligaments that tie the whole thing together as He does His work. And it's kind of like it's a God thing that happens. Oh, we're to work on and with each other. Immaturity puts us at risk. Healthy growth is given as a picture. And then I don't want you to miss this last part of the passage from verse 17, I believe it is, down to 24. This is not presented as optional. In fact, he says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord. You must no longer live in darkness. He says, apart from knowing God, you lived hard-hearted towards Him. And the longer you lived like that, the more you lost sensitivity to what's right and wrong and began to turn towards sensuality and ultimate destruction. He's saying you need to remember what you learned when you heard of Christ and entered into the relationship and were taught to put off the old and be made new. It says this, that, however, speaking of living in darkness, living your life the same old way, pursuing the same old things. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. If you have been invited to taste and see and entered into a relationship, been made alive in Christ, you may still be immature. And immaturity has great risks, and I wouldn't be faithful to Scripture or loving as your pastor not to tell you that. Now, there's great comfort in living with immaturity. You don't have to wrestle with deep issues. You can do what feels right to you at the time. You don't have to live with repentance. You don't have to deal harshly with sin, right? You don't have to worry about what it is you discover about God. But it leads to destruction, folks. I want you to be healthy. I want you to be strong. I want you to be able to bend in the wind that comes, winds of life that come. I want you to be able to stand and not fall for every teaching that's out there and know what the heart of God is and the desire of God. I want you to delight in His Word. And that's going to take some intentionality. And if you think this is one of those messages that you can hear and go, I'll ponder that, Pastor, thanks. Who's playing in the NFL this afternoon? It's not. He says, I insist on it in the Lord. In fact, we'll go a little further, and in Hebrews, the author chews them out for not taking an accurate reading of where they are and where they need to be. We need to be careful about progress and intentional about gauging where it should be. We need to be real about what should be happening and about how we're getting on track. Hebrews 5:11 to 6:3. The author of Hebrews is writing and he says, we have much to say about this, and he's just talked about the high priest. You can read it. If I start explaining it, we're going to be here forever. But it's hard to make clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths about God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. Slow growth is an issue. The author says, we have much to say that you're not ready to hear. And you've been a Christian a long time, or you've been a follower of Jesus a long time, and it says you should actually be teachers by now, but alas, you're still babies. And you're existing on milk, and it's time for you to move to more solid food. You know, when Miles gets lunch, and he gets it whenever he demands it, quite frankly. I hate to disappoint him, but that's going to change as he gets older. He takes food into his body. That food is doing something. He's growing. He's maturing. He's getting stronger, right? And he needs nutrition out of the food. And as he grows and develops and gets bigger and stronger, he's going to need different food. And the hard reality is if he doesn't get different food, his body will stop growing and developing and getting stronger and will actually, he could starve, right? There could be permanent damage done. That's how God created it. That's how He made it. And the author is saying, we've got much to say to you, but it's hard to make clear because you're no longer trying to understand. You've given up. You've got sidetracked by a bunch of arguments, if you go back into Hebrews, that don't matter and don't affect things, and you've forgotten the core truth that you need to be embracing and you need to be growing. And he says, you have to move beyond solid food. Slow growth is an issue. And the mark of maturity in the believer is the ability to distinguish good from evil. And it says that by constant use, they have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And that the food from Scripture that they get and from the pruning of one another and the building up of one another and the praying together of one another allows them to see clearly what's happening in their world, the choices in their lives, and to choose wisely. Do you see how that works? And so it's not just about having information, not just about a discussion, but the use of it. And so the author says it's time to get growing. He says, therefore, get busy, dive deep, practice your faith, God permitting. And I love that word, God permitting, because he acknowledges right there that it's a work of the Holy Spirit through the truth that does the work. I want to read this for you, and then we'll get to the so what. This is out of the Message by Eugene Peterson. Now, this is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, his take on what God's trying to communicate through Scripture. This isn't the wholly inspired Word of God. This is just what Eugene says, but I love how he puts it for this passage. I have a lot more to say about this, but it's hard to get it across to you since you've picked up this bad habit of not listening. By this time, you ought to be teachers yourselves. Yet here I find you in need of someone to sit down with you and go over the basics on God again, starting from square one, baby's milk. When you should have been on solid food long ago, milk is for beginners, inexperienced in God's ways. Solid food is for the mature, who have some practice telling right from wrong. So come on, let's leave the preschool finger-painting exercises on Christ and get back on the ground, back and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. The basic foundational truths are in place. Turning your back on salvation by self-help and turning in trust toward God. Baptismal instructions, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, God helping us will stay true to all of that. But there's so much more. Let's get on with it. Don't you like that? So let's ask the big question. So what? I want you to... I long for you. I don't just want you. It's not about me. I long for you to embrace your walk with God in new ways. And for others to be invited to discover Him, to see Him discover Him, and for us to clearly be able to say to someone who says, man, someone told me about Jesus and I sat under the Word and I've been invited to relationship and I want to be a Jesus follower, to say really clearly, here's some practical ways that you can begin to walk with Jesus and to be well-rounded as a disciple, and here's what it looks like. And discovery is a huge part of that. It's an ongoing process. We have to be clear. The Bible talks about maturity. It calls us to it. And new life in Christ must be rooted in truth that will provide real growth. God has revealed Himself to us in His Word. It's living and active, and it's used by the Holy Spirit. You need to pick it up. And if your root isn't in the inspired, holy Word of God, where He's revealing Himself to you, you need to make some adjustments and get a taproot for your life into the Word of God. It may start by just picking up a discipline, by forcing yourself, by setting apart time, but it will become life-giving, direction-shifting, empowering. It will become time spent with one that you love. Secondly, we need to be pruned and built up. When you become a Christian, when you're that little sapling and you don't have any roots, the body of Christ is designed for you to be planted right there. And you all that are in a relationship with God have been given a gift and called to a ministry and called to participate in the building up and the serving together and the growth of the body. And if you remain immature, there are huge dangers to you and to the body that you're in. And the Bible is clear that growing in Christ is not an option. That's what's expected. And so if you're here today and you take a new life in Christ and you don't have a plan for growth, and you don't have any way of assessing current reality and saying, where am I and where should I be and what should I be putting in the dashboard of my life to move me from here to here, this is a conversation you need to have. And in all of your community groups, this is what's being talked about. And we need to gauge our process and our progress. The right gauges will reveal reality and allow us to move forward. I bought a van a few years ago. Only had 22,000 kilometers on it. I thought, awesome. I shouldn't be able to worry about things. And very soon after I bought it, my wife called me and said she was stranded on the side of the road, and I went and got her. And I thought, well, I finally have a vehicle with warranty. We'll just take it to the dealership. And I used my AMA and I took it to the dealership. It was a very unsatisfying experience. I'll rant about it sometime if you want me to. Long story short, they apparently did all kinds of tests on it, and I'm not a mechanic necessarily. I know a little bit. I know that the first three things I check are fuel, spark, and oxygen or air, because you can't even have combustion without those things. But after a few hours, a mechanic accidentally knocked on the gas tank and discovered all it was a broken gas gauge. So the parts that were ordered and put in and on and on and on were pretty much useless. But once we discovered that the gas gauge didn't work, we were good to go. To this day, that van has a broken gas gauge. We just track how many kilometers we drive. But if I was to loan you my van, that gauge would get you into some very real trouble. You don't know how to read it. It's not operating properly. As disciples who are part of Discovery, there's four dashboard indicators that you need to have in your life. If you don't have these gauges installed in your life, you need to find a way to put them in. I'm going to give them to you and tell you why they need to be there. And then you need to start to monitor those gauges. How are they doing? How am I doing? Because it's important for your health. The first is church. That's kind of an all-encompassing term. We could just call it the family of God, the people of God. But let's talk really specifically for a minute. Every week you have a chance to reorient your life, to make it a priority to set aside time and to come and to stop what you do. And the Bible tells us to not forsake meeting together. And you have a chance to come and to say, let me be reminded about who God is, His character, what He has done, His work on man's kind behalf, and praise Him. And I can participate in that. I'm invited to worship God. I'm invited to come in and to serve alongside and to be an encouragement to someone. I'm invited to come and to recognize by a gift of my tithes and offerings that God is providing in my life and that He's faithful to me and that I recognize this is a gift from His hand. I have a chance to sit under the Word of God and to be grafted in, having other members of the body know me and prune me. You need this gauge in your life. And you just say, how regular are we? How committed are we, in a sense? And I don't mean it in a religious way, where if you're not here, because you can come here and have a good sleep, and it won't make any difference, right? But I mean intentionally making it a priority to be grafted into the body and participating with the body and reorienting your life on a regular basis. That's a gauge you need in the dashboard of your life. The second is Bible. How worn is your Bible? How much time are you spending in it? Now, I have to be careful here. There's people who read for information's sake. They consume volumes and volumes of books, and they're really, really brilliant up here and can't apply any of it here. My cousin used to refer to a guy that was like that as a Ferrari with no wheels. It looks cool, it revs loud, but it doesn't go anywhere. You need to know how to get into the Word of God and discover what God reveals about Himself and let it affect your heart. let it begin to percolate. When it says, I meditate on your law, it's like you read these things, and then as you're going through your day, you're thinking about them, and they're on your heart, and you're talking to God about it, and you're going, you know, I just don't know what you were talking about there. Show me or help me understand. Or you'll read something, and all of a sudden you'll encounter a situation in life where wisdom is required, and you'll know the thing from the Word of God that gets... Or you'll be going through your day, and you'll make a choice that's unwise, and the verse of Scripture pops into your head, and you go, you know what? This is a destructive choice, not a choice towards God. You need in the dashboard of your life a gauge that tells you how you're doing on your Bible reading. Now, these gauges that we put in, there's ways to add fuel to them, to fill them, and some of them will be unique to you, and some of them will just be plain old common sense. But you need a gauge that says church and a gauge that says Bible. Thirdly, you need a gauge that says posture. I'll tell you why this is so important. I do premarital counseling, and oftentimes it's a requirement for people to get married. The guy will sit like this in my office. He doesn't want to be there. It's not till we develop a friendship and he believes I'm there for his best, that I'm trying to help, that I'm trying to give them tools to do life and marriage with, that he begins to open up and engage in the process, and it's usually a lot of fun. But posture is everything. I got to tell you, some of you come and listen, hear, or interact with other Christians, or come to the Word of God trying to prove your point, or trying to find an argument, or critical. You don't have an open heart or a listening heart. Posture is everything. And if a guy like David, who cheated, who killed a man, who experienced highs and lows and failures, we learn from him, but we have this posture where we're not open to listening to others or embracing truth or discussing with an open heart or ear to hear. We're not even allowing God to use other people in our life in a correct way. You need a gauge in your life that says, am I humble? Am I repentant? Is my posture coming to God and his people right? And if it's not, what do I need to do to keep that posture of being open to God and his people? And finally, you need prayer as a gauge in your dashboard. And I'm not talking about recanting a list of things that you think God should do and reasons why he should do them. I'm talking about a two-way conversation with the living God who loves you and sent his son to die for you. And there's so much you can learn, but you need a gauge. You need a gauge in the dashboard of your life for these things to say, where is church and being with the people of God and using my gift and being involved? Where is my prayer life? Where is the time I spend in the Word reading, and how's it working? Where is my posture? You see, it's only when you uncover reality that you can begin to make adjustments to send the roots to a different place and to live your life fully functioning follower of God. Let me pray. Father, thank you for what you're showing me. Use your Word in the hearts of your people. Give them ears to hear. Do your work in and through us, Lord. We long for this to be a place where we lift the name of Jesus high, where people, their hearts are just duplicated to be like yours, and we're a light in the darkness, and that we bring great glory and honor to your name, and all God's people said. Amen.